Cebu Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Portland Hawthorne Hostel's 11th annual Bike In Movie on Saturday, August 23rd from 6 to 10 p.m. The film will be True Fans, an award-winning documentary about an epic cross-country bicycle journey of three men traveling to the Basketball Hall of Fame and discovering the real America along the way. Musical entertainment will be provided by Train River, an eclectic collection of bluegrass and string band musicians. Again, that's the 11th annual Bike In Movie showing of True Fans on Saturday, August 23rd from 6 to 10 p.m. at the Portland Hawthorne Hostel, 3031 Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning. This is Kathleen Stevenson for the Radio Zine on KBOO Portland. My guest is Drew Cameron, who is co-founder of Combat Paper, a national program that works directly with communities affected by combat to transform military uniforms into sheets of handmade paper, which become works of art. For a couple more days, he is artist in residence at the Museum of Contemporary Craft in Portland. He is a hand papermaker, printer, and book artist based in San Francisco. He has a degree in forestry from the University of Vermont and served in the U.S. Army from 2000 to 2006. Drew, thanks for coming into KBOO.
My pleasure. I'm super, super happy to be here.
Explain a little bit more for our listeners about what combat paper is.
Yeah, in its simplest form, combat paper uses the traditional technique of hand paper making to transform military uniforms into paper. And so whatever agency one has with that is theirs to choose. So it's workshop based. So myself and others as facilitators provide a space where people can learn that process and use their own material to transform it into these sheets. Then the paper then becomes activated in various ways through print and book or sculpture. But it's very process oriented. It's about people coming together, bringing in this material, and going through the process of transforming it.
How did you get interested in this?
In papermaking?
In the whole, papermaking first, but then maybe how you combined it with this whole premise.
Absolutely. So there's a long-standing tradition of in-hand papermaking where clothing rags are used. This, in fact, was the way the commodity was produced for many centuries prior to the advent of using pulpwood or whole trees, which didn't occur until 1850. So I was studying the traditional craft and, of course, taking clothing rags of various sorts, cotton, linen, hemp rags, and turning them into paper, and also studying the Eastern process, which is raw fiber, predominantly paper mulberry type of fiber, and going through different recipes and exploring it, inevitably someone comes to the question of what type of rags would make what type of paper. And the collaborator I was working with at the time, one of my teachers who really influenced and guided the direction that I would take hand paper making, Drew Matat, was doing a lot of street intervention work in Chicago and was really into this idea of using paper in this public forum. And I had been doing a lot of work after my time in the Iraq War, coming home and doing a lot of peace work, which for me, the most interesting part of that for me was working with communities of veterans and doing creative things. So creative writing, for instance, and the program Warrior Writers that Lavella Kalika has begun. And so it was basically a merger of those two things. So I'm studying paper. I'm also doing a bunch of creative work with veterans and also based on my experiences in the military, in the army, in the war. And my friend and collaborator is doing a lot of this paper performative stuff. So it was essentially a merger of these two things where the impetus was given, why not use the military uniform as the source fiber and turn it into paper? So in fact, that's exactly what I did with my uniform.
With your own, that was the first?
It was, yeah. For combat paper, it was the first time that had been done. And quickly what happened is I began to share that paper with my friends. And they began to identify with it and wanted to make paper with their uniforms. So the studio that we had called the Green Door Studio in Burlington, Vermont, quickly became this informal workshop space where people in the National Guard, people in the active duty, and people who were recently out and artists were coming together and exploring this new medium. It felt like we had just all these things to discover. It was kind of like a think tank. We were just in that space, cranking through a bunch of projects and inspiring each other and making a ton of work. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was great.
How much paper does one military uniform make?
There's a phenomenal amount of fiber that's trapped inside of the textile. So the first step in paper making is to liberate the rag. And I use that word specifically because you think about it, the way that fibers are woven into yarns and the yarns are created into the fabric, reversing that process through paper making, it really does free up a ton of fiber. Mm-hmm. So one uniform, the way we think about it in paper making, is by weight of fiber. One uniform is, say, maybe 3 pounds approximately, once you get rid of the buttons and zippers and Velcros and what have you. 1 pound of uniform can make, depending on its thickness and size of sheet, like 30 sheets. So quickly, one can have nearly 100 sheets of paper from a uniform.
So talk a little bit about the experience of doing this, the human experience of interacting with other people in this process. What kinds of issues does this bring up? Is it super varied for different groups? Or talk a little bit about what that's like.
So over the 7 years that Combat Paper has existed, there have been over 100 workshops mm-hmm. in 29 states and 5 different countries. And there are now 4 affiliate studios that carry the namesake Combat Paper. So we've worked in a lot of different locations and events, and a lot of different people have come and interacted and participated in all of these different ways. But the process really lends itself to talking story. And I think that's it's really inspiring, because speaking about war, for whatever reason, there's a long-standing cultural association with it being taboo. And so, thinking of previous generations' war experience, it was the kind of thing that was not frequently talked about, or not openly talked about in American military society. So papermaking, for whatever reason, is really accessible. It's a craft, and you're making something it's very elemental. It's just water and fiber and mechanical change, and it's very deliberate. And for whatever reason, this lends itself to this space where perhaps that openness or that comfort or that taboo is a little bit diminished. So, yeah, I think it's really exciting, because it's about creating an understanding between those of us who have experienced war in various ways. You know, those of us who are family and friends, or citizens and civilians, and experiencing war from an aftermath or from a distance, as well as those who have been sent to it, you know, have seen and experienced and then brought that back home. It's really important that we find tools to be able to take that apart, right? To understand it, to make it feel like it's our story, that we have a grasp on it. And this really begins to, for me, really begins to do that. So in all of these workshops, I've just been continually inspired to hear what people bring. Mm. You know, the material, the uniform certainly is this access point. You know, it's a conduit, but it's also just imbued with a ton of inspiration, and it's a great place to begin.
Mm-hmm. Have you had veterans participate, veterans from, say, all wars? And has that made for different types of discussions, different types of experiences?
Yes, thankfully. Thankfully, from its inception, the premise has been this is an open forum. It's a workshop where veterans and non-veterans are welcome, all are welcome. And so it's certainly an intergenerational experience, warfare in this country. And Combat Paper has worked with every branch of service, the military, and every conflict that the United States has been involved in since, and including World War II, all the way up to current and ongoing conflict. So when you start to make that list, it's pretty extensive. And people have brought in some really fascinating places that they got sent and things that they were involved in. And working with Vietnam veterans is really, really great. And in fact, has been since the beginning. Vietnam era vets have been a part of Combat Paper and continue to be part of the group of facilitators and artists that continue to inform this work that we're doing. So, yeah, I mean, in a way, as a younger veteran, as an Iraq War veteran, working with Vietnam veterans is really great for me, especially those who have found a creative practice, because they're like our teachers. You know, they're our mentors to show us, you know, how to live again or how they found their way, and that can be really encouraging, because a lot of people who are coming back are just getting out of the military. You know, it's a really disruptive thing, and it can be finding a sense of a direction or a purpose after that can be super hard. So it's been really great to have all the different era veterans, Vietnam, Desert Storm, through the 90s, Cold War vets, and then Iraq and Afghanistan, the post 9/11 era stuff. It's really great.
Mm-hmm. And I'd like to mention Dan Shea, who is a Vietnam vet and I think got involved with you while you were here in Portland, and he's the one that recommended that we speak with you. And thanks to Dan, who's also an artist. Thanks for him for recommending that we talk with you. How about women? Have there been women involved in this project?
Absolutely. Yeah, women have proudly served in the military since the beginning. And so that's certainly a big part of the group that's involved, to include facilitators who are doing their own Combat Paper practice. But the military is not representational to the population at large. There's a significant less percentage of women who serve in the military versus in the, you know, civil society, what do you want to call it. So there's that. I think if I were to look at the participants over time of Combat Paper, I think that, let's say, for instance, in the military, there's 15% women. Combat Paper participants is probably more like 20% women. There seems to be a higher representation in Combat Paper than in the military. But also, like, the biggest branch is the Army. So the most of the people who have participated in Combat Paper are Army associated or Army veterans. So I don't know if there's like this, it's really, you know, impossible to know how it all comes together.
Right. I'm speaking with Drew Cameron. We're talking about his work with Combat Paper. He is co-founder of Combat Paper, the program that works directly with communities affected by combat to transform military uniforms into sheets of handmade paper, which become works of art. He is currently artist in residence at the Museum of Contemporary Craft in Portland. This is the Radio Zine. I'm Kathleen Stevenson here on KBOO Portland. And your work at Contemporary Craft, at the Museum of Contemporary Craft, talk about what that's involved, because it's part of another, a whole series of programs at Contemporary Craft.
Absolutely. So there's this wonderful exhibition that's up right now called Fashioning Cascadia, The Social Life of the Garment. And for the duration of that show, which is through October 11th, 2014, there have been four resident artists. I'm the last to come into the space and be in the Fashion Safe House, which is this interactive space that the artist Otto von Busch has built in there. And what I've lent it, or what I've used it for, is to solicit people to come in to bring a material, a garment, a textile that in some way is a reference point, or is part of their biography, or someone they know. They're connected to it in some way. And then through the same process, I asked them to cut it apart And then I turn it into pulp with a Hollander beater. And then I pull one single sheet of paper, and the sheet of paper then from that material is a portrait of them. So over the course of the 2 weeks that I've been there, a couple days left here, a number of people have come and engaged in this process, which is really encouraging to me because most certainly the military uniform lends itself for the space to begin to unfold or take apart a military story, human story in the military. But that idea or that concept is perfectly lent to anything, really. So if for a moment, and if you think about like paper, clothing is ubiquitous in the human experience, I'm sure you can think of something that you have, you know, that you picked up or was passed down to you, or that you had on that certain trip or that place that it's been. Just the physical geography alone of the garment is interesting to me, to think of how many miles it has traveled before turning into a sheet of paper, let alone how many times it's been slept in or sweat in, or how many times it commuted to work or what have you.
Right.
So those are the filling the space in the Fashion Safe House there at the museum is are all of these portraits that have been produced. And Dan Shea, he brought in one of his t-shirts, the VietnamFullDisclosure.org, which is this project that VFP is now doing, and then an Agent Orange t-shirt. So these two different t-shirts from his activism, and then those are two different portraits of him, mm-hmm. which I think is really beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And what makes one, what are the elements in the work that makes one of those pieces of paper different from another, and you know, enough to be a portrait? I mean, what
certainly,
you know, what determines how it looks, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Well, it's the fiber completely, right? So just from a straight glance, you'll see there's all this vary of color, all these different colors, you know, an orange t-shirt versus a pair of blue jeans versus a flag or an army uniform that's OD green. The tonality of it is different. Mm-hmm. There's subtle differences too in how I treat it in the process, if I'll add inclusions or underbeat parts of the fiber and stuff to give it some representation of where it came from. But the names of the people who brought it in are all recorded in the stories that they've shared through the process, however little or however much they've shared through the process, that all accompanies the portraits, not in a didactic way, but sort of behind it. And while I'm in the space, I get to share all of these stories, which I really enjoy because I love to hear what people bring. So, that's for me right now. That's as I'm looking at them hanging in the space, they're all around. I can look at each sheet and I can name the people who it was, who it is.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm. Yeah. That's great. And on your website, on the website for Combat Paper, there is a gallery with pictures, wonderful pictures of projects that were done, it looks like, as part of the program by participants. And they vary from three-dimensional work, cast paper, to two-dimensional drawings on paper, paintings. It seems like quite a range of applications that can be made with the paper by all these people. It was wonderful to look at.
Thanks for saying so. It's really exciting. There are a ton of veterans out there who have either intuitively turned to creative practice or have gone to school and training and develop their own techniques, and inevitably Combat Paper, through the years that it's been doing workshops, we've begun to connect and collaborate and be a part of this broader veteran art movement that is once again happening. And so a lot of the stuff, the studio practice outside of the workshop, what people have done with it is really great. And as you mentioned, there's images on the website. There's also sort of an archive or a collection that has been added to, with over 300 pieces that are in it so far, and that is constantly shown in exhibition. There's also other places that we, you know, everything that people make in their workshop is theirs to keep, you know? The premise is simple. It's free and open to everyone, and anything that you make, you get to keep. So there are a lot of stuff that's out there to the winds, you know, in people's houses or that they're showing. And that, you know, like one of my favorite things that happens is where I'll be able to see a group show, or I'll see about it online, or see something on social network, and it's a piece of art that's paper that's made from uniforms that I had no part in making, that I didn't even know existed until I saw it right then. And that's, I mean, that's what it's all about. It shows that it's working.
And there are a number of organizations that are affiliated with Combat Paper. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about that? Like what's happened across the country or beyond as far as groups doing similar work or work related?
Sure, sure. So coming back to this idea of this veterans art movement, so thinking of creative ways to aggregate, which either could be small groups or individuals who are producing and put them all in one place. So Combat Papers collaborate and continues to collaborate with a lot of different folks. Combat Paper has 4 paper mills, affiliated paper mill studios, one in New Jersey, through the Printmaking Center of New Jersey, one in upstate New York, one in Reno, Nevada, through the Draculich Foundation, and then I'm based in San Francisco. But also, as participants or as guests, as collaborators with other organizations, one of the great ideas that's come up is how do you find these artists and how do you bring them in and create some sort of network to like Skillshare and build momentum. So the National Veterans Art Museum is based in Chicago, and that's been one of the great hubs, starting to be one of the great hubs. And one of the organizers behind it, Aaron Hughes, is working to do that exact thing. Another is the Warrior Art Group, which is it's an online space where people who are veterans, artists, can have basically a profile. So it's a simple way to engage with other people and be inspired by other people's work. So those are the first two that come to mind. And then I mentioned before the sort of the creative writing component. Paper, for a very long time, has been driven by print. Not always, but it has for a very long time. And print specifically around ideas, science, and business, and religion, and art. And so the paper that we make and have made often is used in creative writing and bound into books. And so Warrior Writers has been a long-standing close collaborator where even workshops will happen where we will go through the paper-making process and creative writing workshop simultaneous. So at the end of a workshop experience over multiple days, you have people who have come and transformed their material into paper and then have written about it and then bound it into a book and then has presented it to the public. That's great. I mean, right there, paper, print, and book, all in one, making it happen. So Warrior Writers has 4 anthologies that they've published, self-published. The 4th one has just been released, and they have a website, Warrior Writers. And the website's nice because there's also video and, in their own words, veterans reading their poetry. And it's where you can see the other books that have been published and see examples as well as order it and stuff. So that's a really exciting project and is ongoing work facilitating creative writing workshops.
Now, we mentioned that you, Drew Cameron, co-founder of Combat Paper, are only here in Portland for a couple more days as part of the artist in residency that you have at the Museum of Contemporary Craft. How could people interact with that event at this stage in the game?
Sure, most definitely. The museum is open from 11 to 6, Tuesday through Saturday. Like I said, there's that fashion safe house upstairs, and all the portraits that I've produced over the time here are there for you to see. If you come in today, you can bring in a material, and there's still enough time where you can cut it up and I can turn it into a portrait, which would be really great. But the exhibition, Fashioning Cascadia, The Social Life of the Garment, runs through October 11th. So here we are in August. There's plenty of time still to go to the museum, to see the exhibition, to see the way that all of these great artists and designers have been curated into the space. It's really inspiring work. I'm really pleased to be there.
And for finding out about Combat Paper, we mentioned the website. Do you want to talk a little bit more about that, how people can find out more?
Yep. Combat Paper hopefully is easy to find. So we have a website, combatpaper.org. We're on all the social media outlets and workshops, and our tour, it's updated frequently on that page. It's a way to kind of follow and figure out where we might be in your community, or maybe you have a friend or a family that you can think of that would want to be a part of it. And so between our four mills, there's essentially programming every week all year. So it's depending on where you are, it's easy to plug in. And, you know, we get around and bring our portable paper mill and facilitate these spaces. So that's the easiest way to tune in right there.
And where do you go from here?
I'm going back to San Francisco. Yeah, the next upcoming is at the Palo Alto Art Center. There's an exhibition that includes the artist Aaron Toole, also a veteran and friend who makes cups. And there's a closing celebration for his exhibit where he'll be giving away all of the 800 cups that he produced over the course of a month being there. There'll also be a paper making workshop that I'll be facilitating that weekend. And there'll be an exhibit of a series of new prints that I've produced. It's based on World War I, and it's in collaboration with the Kronos Quartet. So those will be on display there as well. So that's what's coming up next for Combat Paper.
Wow. And Aaron Toole, I believe, did a project earlier with the Museum of Contemporary Craft, and I think his work has been, if not some of his mugs, on exhibit at Eutectic Gallery here in Portland. So,
absolutely,
another way to see that connection. Well, it's fascinating work, and I appreciate you coming in to talk about it here on KBOO. Thank you so much, Drew Cameron, for about this.
Thank you.
And again, that project, Combat Paper Project, and Drew Cameron's work on that is happening now at the Museum of Contemporary Craft here in Portland, in Northwest Portland. So still a couple days to see what's going on there and continue on with the larger project. And remind me of the name of that one, Drew, the larger project that Combat Paper is part of, or that you're part of.
Oh, the residency, the exhibition space is called Fashioning Cascadia, the Social Life of the Garment.
Great. This is Kathleen Stevenson. I have been speaking with Drew Cameron of Combat Paper, and we've been talking about his work currently at the Museum of Contemporary Craft. This is the Radio Zine on KBOO Portland. And if you missed part of this interview or want to hear it again, it will be available on our website, kboo.fm, in a little while today. So thank you for listening.
And now the KBOO News at noon for Thursday, August 21st, 2014. In the Gaza Strip, Israeli airstrikes, which resumed Tuesday night, continued today, with 8 Palestinians, including 3 children, killed when the Israeli army fired missiles into Nafaq Street in Gaza City. This follows an attempted assassination by missile yesterday of a Hamas leader that ended up killing his wife and child instead. The United Nations Security Council has expressed grave concern over the resumption of hostilities in Gaza and called upon parties to resume negotiations to urgently reach a sustainable and lasting ceasefire. In Tacoma, Washington today, protesters are planning to gather at the port of Tacoma this evening to block an Israeli ship that is scheduled to arrive there tonight. This follows a port blockade in Oakland, California, that lasted 4 days and blocked the unloading of Israeli imports from a ship that was docked at the Port of Oakland since Saturday. Locally, a demonstration is taking place this afternoon in Portland to call for a boycott of Israeli products and an end to the Israeli aggression against the Palestinian people. The protest will be held from 2:30 to 5:30 today in Southwest Portland. Protesters are gathering at the Pier 1 Imports store at 5331 Southwest McAdam Avenue. They will then march to an undisclosed business, which they say is directly profiting from the Israeli occupation of Palestinian land. Protests continued last night in Ferguson, Missouri, but last night's protests were met with less police violence than in the past few nights, and no arrests were reported. Attorney General Eric Holder met yesterday with the family of the unarmed black teenager Michael Brown, who was killed by police on August 9th. Holder promised a full investigation of the young man's murder. That's it for the KBOO News at Noon for Thursday, August 21st. Stay tuned every evening at 5 p.m. for more local, national, and international news produced by volunteers right here in our Portland studios. For KBOO News, I'm Jenka Soderberg.
And you're tuned to Community Radio KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, 91.9 FM, Hood River and the Gorge, 104.3 FM, Philomath and Corvallis, and our translator IDs at K220HR Hood River and K282BH Philomath. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Aladdin Theater, presenting an evening with Malian musician Salif Keita, Wednesday, September 3rd. Tickets and information for Salif Keita on September 3rd at aladdin-theater.com. And Hopworks Urban Brewery, committed to creating world-class food and organic beer as sustainably as possible at their carbon-neutral eco-brew pubs. Hopworks is located at Southeast 29th and Powell Boulevard, and Hopworks Bike Bar is at North Williams and Shaver. Available on draft and in bottles throughout Cascadia. Information at 503-232-HOPS or hopworksbeer.com.